timely for me, a Medscape article that's talking about how heavy marijuana use is tied to midlife pre-diabetes, but not diabetes. And as a midlife guy, I'm 47, I just got diagnosed with pre-diabetes. What do I need to know, Dr. Mitch?
Well, the weird thing about this is I honestly don't think cannabis is the issue. And I can, you know, walk through the sort of idea that maybe munchies led you to eat too much sugar or something like that. But it really does come down to just standard diet stuff. And I feel like folks who are rushed, folks who are used to, you know, working outside the law and stuff, often find themselves eating the foods that aren't necessarily conducive to good insulin functioning. And I mean, I hate to say it, the data suggests that, you know, laying off the sugar, laying off the sweets, keeping the exercise high, and switching to a plant-based diet are really the way to go. Nobody ever likes to hear those data, but that's really what the science keeps saying.
You know, we've seen other studies that have shown that regular cannabis consumers tend to have a lower body mass index. I'm wondering, is this study catching people who would have normally come up for diabetes, and they're just catching them for pre-diabetes? Like, if the average was 3 out of 10 people get diabetes, but now we're finding 2 out of 10 of them are getting pre and only one's getting diabetes, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Well, in fact, there may be sort of a buffer about this. I'm also eager to point out that we're finding more and more folks who are regular cannabis users are less afraid to go to the physician now and talk about it. And so I feel like some of this may have been there all along. It just never got uncovered before.
Ah, good point. All right, looking to the high school students, this was a big scare that came out through the media in a study that showed 1 out of 5 high school kids who uses e-cigarettes tried to use those vaporizers to vaporize marijuana. And of course, they freak out about how easy it is to conceal and the smell's not as bad and so forth. What do we know from this data?
What's intriguing here is really what's left unsaid, and that's that we actually don't know how the e-cigarettes work as far as some of the propylene glycol and the things that are made for cannabis-related products. So I hate to sound like an alarmist, but we just don't have those data. And we've, you know, had a couple of neat folks in the field just point out that these cannabis-based liquids aren't necessarily something we know a whole lot about. And then, in truth, I'm not fainting from the idea that folks who've got a vaporizer or a vapor handy would try cannabis oil in it. That's just something we would expect teens to do. But I don't feel like the usual messages against adolescent use are going to be any different as far as this kind of use is concerned.
All right. And we have a question from our chat room wanting to know if you've heard of any folks that have recipes or methods of turning Rick Simpson oil, the kind of liquid viscous oil, into more of a salve. Have you ever heard of that?
I honestly haven't. In truth, I don't have anything published to suggest that the Rick Simpson oil is necessary for making a salve. So, in truth, any of the standard oil-based procedures that would make a salve with regular plant cannabis are probably going to be cheaper in the long run anyway.
Okay. A great story coming out of the Daily Caller showing that marijuana users are 45% less likely to fall victim to bladder cancer. Didn't know that we were very likely to fall victim to bladder cancer in the first place, but what is this news telling us?
Well, what's curious about this is an odds ratio that if it were going in the other direction, I would say, hey, this isn't big enough to make a big deal out of. And so I hate to say it, but this is nice, and the idea that local cannabinoids in the bladder might somehow protect against cancer, but the until it's like doubling the effect, I'm just not too optimistic about this replicating. When we get a larger effect size, then I'll start trying to hunt down the mechanism. We know that locally THC and other cannabinoids can have anti-cancer effects. It wouldn't be stunning that they'd also generalize to the bladder, but I don't want to jump up and down about this until we've got a headline that says marijuana users half as likely to fall into bladder cancer. Then I would suddenly be a little more intrigued.
Okay. Is the risk of bladder cancer that great in the first place?
Not until about age 70.
Okay.
So I feel like we're dealing with such small fractions, even though this is an 11-year follow-up data set, that it's I just don't want to make a big deal out of it. You know, this is one of those things where it's a huge sample and it's statistically significant, but the effect is actually pretty small. And so I would hate to think that this is the way to prevent bladder cancer. It's actually better to just keep your alcohol consumption and tobacco consumption down.
Yeah. And when we're talking about these low incidences, it kind of reminds me, you know, if you buy a lottery ticket, you got a 1 in a million chance to strike it rich. And if you buy two, you may have doubled your chances, but there's still not a lot of chance there.
And in fact, it's just barely above zero. So.
Exactly. All right. We got a follow up on the Rick Simpson salve question, wondering, you know, do tinctures work as well when we're talking about skin? I mean, can you use a tincture for transdermal just like you would use a salve?
Well, what's funny is we didn't have documented transdermal basically absorption of THC until we had some of these things that are a little bit like a nicotine patch, and they actually kind of abrade the skin. Mm. And so as much as I love those, you know, tincture oil massages and things like that, we actually don't have published evidence that that would be the case. I think that would be a great place to start. So an alcohol-based tincture in an oil-based salve, coconut oil or something like that, would certainly be pleasant regardless, and that would be a great place to experiment without having to spend a lot of money. And essentially go from there.
Hmm. All right. A big statistic that came out last week and was, you know, heralded by a number of online outlets was that daily marijuana use among college students is at the highest rate in 35 years. I mean, they studied it in 1980. They got a big number, and it's been lower than that ever since, until now. So, Dr. Mancher, all your new incoming freshmen just blazed all the time or what?
Well, what happens, in fact, and I've got some new data on this, is when you make the survey as anonymous as possible, some of these rates actually end up being higher than they would be if they're not making it as anonymous as possible. And so I think as the stigma associated with cannabis use is dropping, this Monitoring the Future program, which is a big survey done by the University of Michigan, is basically letting folks feel more comfortable fessing up. So I'm not sure if this is really so much a big increase in use as it is an increase in confession of use. But the other thing what we're finding is that basically daily or near daily marijuana use isn't necessarily a great predictor of problems, particularly if it's late in the day. So if you're, you know, getting high a half an hour before you watch The Simpsons and go to bed, odds are high it's not creating a lot of negative consequences. It's the wake and bake folks who then try to run to class and comprehend something that often run into trouble.
Mm, yeah, good point. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the graphs of alcohol, marijuana, and cigarette usage. Alcohol pretty steadily goes down, and cigarette pretty steadily goes down, and it makes sense. You'd think as people get more educated, there's going to be less use. Marijuana went way up in the 70s, and then way down in the 80s, and then way up in the 90s, and then flattened out in the 2000s. It seems to correlate better with the messages coming out of the White House than anything else. 1980s, of course, the Nancy Reagan Just Say No era, and what do you know? People didn't want to admit to a government pollster that they were smoking pot.
I mean, I can hardly blame him when Reagan was in the White House. I didn't want to confess to literally having any taxable income.
Yeah, so, good point.
You can imagine it's a tough situation where you've got self-report bias contributing as much as actual use, and I'm actually you know, not trying to encourage daily use, but clearly the negative consequences are the thing to measure, not did you actually smoke a joint.
All right, folks, that's all the time we've got, unfortunately, to get questions in for Dr. Mitch. But if you've got a question that didn't get answered, you can always send it in privately and anonymously by emailing 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com. And Dr. Mitch will be with us next Monday for another edition of Cannabis Q&A, so you can call in next week if you want to. Happy Rosh Hashanah, Dr. Mitch, and give my best to your family.
Hey, thanks so much for all the fun when I was in Portland there, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we got Dr. Mitch out in the convertible. He was digging it. Take it easy, Dr. Mitch. We'll see you next week. All right, folks, stay tuned. We got time for the Radical Rant, a recording of my presentation on the marijuana and media panel just yesterday. Right about 4:20, as a matter of fact, on yesterday's Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at the Hilton in downtown Portland, Oregon. And then stay tuned for hour two. We got Judge Jim Gray and Congressman Earl Blumenauer from the same event.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies.